Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, Father, for the privilege, O God, of being taught, O God, the realities in your name, Father, being unveiled, O God, to your glory and your grace, Father, being unveiled, O God, to the awesome treasure, O God, of your every provision, Father. So, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to transform our hearts, to transform our minds, to open us, O God, to receiving, O God, of the light of your glory, the true, full, and perfect knowledge of thee, unveiled and manifested to us, Father, in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Father, that we will come alive to who you are and all that you are, that we will be entirely anchored, O God, in the reality of your wonder, Father, that everything that is within us will be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb and unveiled, O God, in a true and faithful witness, that we will receive and realize of you, Father, and express the wonders of you, O God, into the lives of others, Father. And this will be, O God, our ministry, Father, that no matter what gift we operate, Father, no matter what kind of calling we are answering, Father, Father God, that we will communicate the wonder of you, that people will see the light of your glory, that people will be drawn, O God, to the wonder of your love, Father, that the unveiling of who you are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit will be the means by which, O God, all of our ministry will be unveiled, Father. So as we continue, O God, to ask, O God, and receive, O God, of the revelation of your name, we pray that you will bless us, Father, so that we will minister to others in your name, so that we will be a blessing to others in your name, so that we will be a blessing, O God, in the name of Jesus, so that we will be a blessing, O God, in the love of Jesus, so that we will be fashioned and formed in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his faith and his love will become the means by which, O God, we do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that what we do, O God, will be a blessing to others because of all that you are doing in our lives, because of all that you are unfolding, O God, in the tablets of our heart. Let there be light, Lord. Deep within us, let there be light. And let the radiance of the bright and morning star be manifested, O God, from the tablets of our heart. And in his radiance, in his light, Father, your word declares that we will see light, Lord. So we give you glory and honor. We thank you for Jesus being unveiled in us. And we thank you that as Jesus is unveiled in us, we come alive to you, Father. Holy Spirit, we pray that you fill our hearts and enable us to receive, O God, the wonder of who you are. All these things, Lord, we ask, O Lord, and pray in the name of Jesus. And we pray that everything that you manifest within us will be unveiled through us, Father, by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to the glory of you, O Lord. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on Module 8, Tape 3. Unveiling the name of God. Unveiling the name of God. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple of verses before we continue. The name of God is I Am. And you find that in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13 to 15. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" So the name of God is I Am, who I am. In the King James Bible, Old King James Bible, it is unveiled as I Am that I am. So there are two realities to the name of God, who he is and all that he is. And God's name is to us a memorial name. All right? In the New American Standard, verse 15, the last line is phrased like this: "This is my memorial name to all generations." All right? "This is my memorial name to all generations." So God's name is a memorial name. And in that simple statement, God tells us that his name is to be unveiled to us. His name is to be manifested to us. We are to remember his name. And his name is to be the basis in which we do all things. And we need to understand that, okay? So the name of God is I Am. And I Am refers to, let's look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. verse 2 and 3. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Right? The Lord there is, the word Lord there is YHWH, which you see on the wall at the back of us. All right? That's the name of God. Right? I am the Lord. Right? We can pronounce the name of God as Yahweh. YHWH, pronounced as Yahweh. There are others who have used other consonants to represent the name of God, JHVH, which has then been translated which has then been translated as Jehovah, right? I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, which is YHWH, I was not known to them. So Yahweh is the name of God, and the name of God is I am who I am that I am. And God's name is a memorial name. So you and I are called to know the name of God. And if we are called to be in ministry, and all of us in the church are called to be in ministry, everything we do in ministry has to be unveiled in the name of God. If it's not unveiled in the name of God, it's not going to bless anybody, right? Because the world needs God. And you and I are called to explain God to the world that we live in. To explain God into the lives of those who need Him, all right? So Jesus comes to us in the New Testament. And in John chapter 17, verse 6, in the prayer before he went to the cross, he says this, Father, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Father, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 6. All right. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. So Jesus, the name Jesus, is a manifestation of the name of God. And Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. So the basic reality in which the name of God is unveiled to us is in the reality Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation, which is the name of Jesus. So when we pray the name of Jesus, we are always praying in a reality of salvation. We are always praying in a reality of salvation. Today I want to talk about what it is that flows through the whole of Scripture out of the name of God. And there are two words I want to present to you today. The first word is testimony or witness. A testimony is the testimony of God. I am is the name of God, and the name of God is meant to unveil to us as a testimony, a witness. The second word is covenant. The result of what God witnesses to us has to result in a covenant that God then builds into the tablets of our heart. All right? And that is very important. And this is what constitutes the memorial name. All right? His testimony, fulfilled into a covenant in us, results in a memorial name. And when we function in ministry, we function in this covenant testimony that has been fashioned and formed in the tablets of our heart and is unveiled in us as a living witness. So when we pray and we minister to people, and then when you release the word of God into people's lives, whether through prayer, whether through prophecy, whether through an evangelistic message, whether through the counsels of the word of God, whether in a teaching message, whether in an exposition of the scriptures, whatever form of communication that we unveil, it is always unveiling the witness and testimony of God that has been unveiled in you as a covenant. You see, your calling is part of the covenant that God has with you. He has a call on your life, not just for today, but He means to develop that calling in all eternity. And it's something very personal to the unveiling of the name of Jesus. All right? It's something very personal to the unveiling of the name of Jesus. All right? So let's look at this. You see, Jesus is the manifestation of the name of God. And the manifestation of the name of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is a revelation. Right? You cannot intellectually receive it. It has to be opened to your heart by revelation. And the Apostle Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1. All right? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 17 to 18 to 19 to 20, 21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that is Jesus Christ. And the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the unveiling of the name of God. All right? So the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the knowledge of God. Right? The knowledge of Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the name of God within you. Now, how does it happen? Verse 18 says that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Now, if you have a King James Bible, it uses the word understanding. Right? Right? It uses the word understanding. That the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. And when the eyes of your heart are enlightened, it results in understanding. So you are called to know and understand the name of God. All right? And that name of God is open to you with understanding through the name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus is a revelation given to you in wisdom and in knowledge. All right? That you may know what is the hope of His calling. You see, out of the name of Jesus being manifested in your heart, God then tells you what your calling is. So you have to understand that it is only as the name of Jesus is opened into your heart that you will come to really understand what God has called you to do. Right? And this takes time. Right? And it is your job to realize what God has called you to do. Because it's pointless running on and doing things that you think you want to do or you think are right when you don't really know what exactly God is calling you to do. Right? And it's very important that you wait upon the Lord to understand what He has called you to do and let Him prepare you for the work of the ministry. All right? Let Him prepare you for the work of the ministry. Your ministry depends on the calling upon your life. All right? Your ministry depends upon the calling upon your life. Okay? All right. Then it says that once you have this calling, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards you who believe. All right, so all this has to be opened inside of you. See, through your calling, you begin to understand who you are in Christ, and then you begin to realize the power of God. It all comes through a revelation in your heart. Now, we did all of that last week. And I really want you to understand that the opening of the name of God is very personal to you. That it is the heart of what you receive as a Christian. If you can persevere and ask God to unveil the name of Jesus inside of you, and if you can build everything through this name of Jesus, you will find that you will grow after a seemingly so slow beginning into an awesome reality of how powerful God is in your life. And everything in your life will be laid precept upon precept, line upon line, in the name of Jesus. And when things are laid in the name of Jesus, they manifest in the truth. They manifest in an unshakable foundation within you. All right? So that's what you have to ask God. So Paul prays this prayer, asking God the Father to manifest a revelation of Jesus Christ into the church in Ephesus. So today, in this cause, we are asking the Lord to unveil the name of Jesus within you so that you will come alive to who God is, so that you will come alive to all that God is. And that's very important, all right? Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 20, I think. Jeremiah chapter 9, from verse 23 to 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So God tells us here that we need to understand and know Him. that this is fundamental to what God wants to do with you. So out of the testimony of God manifested to you in Christ Jesus, brought alive into you by the Holy Spirit, God wants you to come alive to the fact that you are called to know Him. That you are called to know Him. All right? And that's very fundamental to everything that God does in your life. The moment you are not alive to God anymore, you will grow off track. You will go off track and you will start doing funny things. All right? So it's very important that you build things in your life in the name of the Lord your God. You need to understand that the name of Jesus is a manifestation of the name of God. It is not a name to be used lightly. It is a name to be understood as the treasure of your heart. All right, let me show you another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. From verse 6, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. All right? Listen to those words. For God is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Listen to those words, not from ourselves. That the power is to be of God. And that's the basis of everything in Christian life. What you don't receive from God, you are not going to hold it for a very long time. What you do not receive from God is unsustainable by definition. So you need to understand that if you're going to receive something from God, it has to come to you through the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Christ Jesus. And verse 7 calls that treasure. And that treasure is to be manifested in your heart, not somebody else's heart, not your pastor's heart, but in your heart. So that the exceeding greatness of the power will be of God and not of yourselves. If you're struggling with your Christian life, it is because you are trying to do what God wants to do. And you will never do what God can do. So you need to understand and carefully understand the word of God. Don't get in the way of God. God has a work in your heart. And the work in your heart is going to be manifested in Christ Jesus. And it's going to give to you the knowledge of God. And in the knowledge of God will come the power to change. The power to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So you need to understand the scriptures very carefully. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation doesn't end with being born again. Salvation begins with being born again. And what God manifested in you and I being born again is a reality that He wants to increase in our lives. When you were born again, you didn't have very much to do with it except to receive. Except to say that Jesus is Lord. Right? So leave out the religious ideas and get into Christ Jesus, because in Christ Jesus the name of God is being manifested. And in the name of God being manifested, God is telling you, I am who I am that I am. And He wants to establish the reality of His name in your heart and in your life as a memorial name. You are the temple of God. You are the tabernacle of the living God. In you, God wants to manifest His name. In you, God wants to develop His witness. In you, God wants to show and demonstrate who He is and all that He is. Do you understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? And the only reason you are fearfully and wonderfully made is simply because God has chosen to manifest His name from the tablets of your heart. Praise the Lord. And God calls this treasure. This is the wealth of God the Father's heart. Right? This is the wealth of God the Father's heart. Alright? And this wealth of God the Father's heart, God the Holy Spirit wants to manifest within you and within me. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at another verse, John chapter 16. We did this again last week. But you can always go over the Word of God over and over again. The Word of God is limitless. And in verse 15, this is what Jesus says. All things that the Father has are mine. And this is what you must understand. All things that the Father has are mine. And all things that are mine, that the Father has, are mine, and they can only be brought alive to you in my name. That's what the implications are. They're not going to be brought to you because you fast. They're not going to be brought to you because you have prayed 40 hours and 40 days and 40 nights. They're only going to be brought to you because you have unveiled the name of Jesus. If you have not prayed and fasted to unveil the name of Jesus, you have done nothing for yourself. Because everything that God has for you is in the name of Jesus. It's not going to come by any other means. So if you do not unveil and develop the anointing that God gives you and the calling that God gives you in the name of Jesus, you will lose it the same way Lucifer lost it in the Holy of Holies. And you must understand that and never forget that. Which is why the unveiling of the name of God is the central truth of all of Christianity. And the day you lose touch of the name of God, you have lost your way. And you can only find your bearings again if you open your heart to discovering the name of God. Because everything starts with who God is. And everything is realized in all that God is. There's nothing that is in creation that God has not manifested from Himself. So God is the source and God is the sustainer of everything. If you do not receive something from God, you have nothing. If you receive something from God and you do not allow God to sustain it in your life, you will lose it. Just as Lucifer has lost every blessing that God gave him. And he was blessed. All right? One more verse to reiterate this. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, and it comes to you as light. The Bible says God is light, and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus has shone in your heart. It is shining right now in your heart. And the purpose is so that every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift will be manifested in this light within you in the face of Jesus Christ. And this light that is manifested inside of you is the treasure God wants to give you. And this treasure, in the unveiling of this treasure, is the surpassing greatness of God's power. And it's all very personal to you. It's all very personal to your own being. And we are building the church in the name of Jesus Christ so that His glory will be manifested from each one of us. So that we will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So how does the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus shine into your hearts? To understand that, you have to go back to the law. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 25. These are verses we have done in earlier modules, but you will see that the Word of God lays itself down to you in a certain flow of Scripture. And you can see it in many different perspectives. As long as you understand that the anchor of the Word is God Himself. That if you want to understand the Word of God as God really wants you to understand it, then everything stands in the name of God. You have to be able to see the Word of God in the light of who God is and all that God is, as He is manifested in Jesus Christ, and then you will understand how the Word really works. Otherwise, you will read things that are locked in time and space. So you will read the life of Moses, and unless you can see it in the name of God and understand it in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets brought to you by Jesus Christ, it is just reading something locked in the pages of history. And that's not what God wants to do. He wants you to understand that what happened in Moses' life, what happened through Moses, is available to you personally today through Jesus Christ. Through the name of Jesus, in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the merits of the Lamb of God. That you are a creature of destiny. That everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of what is to be brought into living reality in the New Testament. And that living reality in the New Testament stands in the reality that God now lives in the hearts of human beings. That God now, in the name of Jesus, is being revealed in human hearts. And no longer are we talking about things that just happen external to us. We are talking about things deeply intimate and personal to us. And all this God foreshadowed in the Old Testament, and He wants to open it to us in the New Testament. And everything involves your heart. All right, now let's look at Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. And let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. Now this was done in terms of a physical tabernacle that Moses was instructed to have the people of Israel build. But today, we're not talking about a physical tabernacle. We're not talking about this place physically. We're talking about living tabernacles, which is you and me. Which is the church across the world and the church in the heavenly places. And God is building an awesome temple. A tabernacle in the spirit. Are you with me? A tabernacle that is going to be unveiled from human hearts. All right? So we'll look at these words, and let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. All right? Now let's look at the New Covenant cross-reference. All right? Keep your finger here. We will come back here. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Amen? And you must immediately understand that the reason why you are called a temple is simply because within this temple God wants to manifest His presence and His name. Alright? And that's why you must understand all things in this reality of the name of God. Okay? Because if the name of God was not there, there's no basis for being a temple. Are you with me? So when God constructed the temple during Moses' time, He had it in three parts. But the highest part, the foremost part, was where God would manifest Himself. And this is what you must understand. So as a born-again Christian, your spirit man is open to God. And in ministry, you must always train yourself to respond to God. To be a vessel of the Lord. To use your spirit so that God will... To allow God to lead you by His Spirit through your spirit. To allow God to anoint you and to fill you by His Spirit through your spirit in the name of Jesus. And what He is doing is, He is manifesting His presence as the basis in which you will become the temple of God. Alright? So what is seen is symbolized in the Old Testament is brought into living reality in the New Testament. Now there are cosmic realities of the scripture where God is doing something in the entire universe. That's His business. But there is something that He is doing with you and me that the Bible is talking about. And it's awesome. Right? It is awesome because it is phenomenal what God has for you and me. What He has planned as a destiny for you and me. Alright? So, okay. Alright. And this is what He said in verse 16. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. The ark was basically a box that God wanted to put in the Holy of Holies, which was the highest place in the temple, or the tabernacle of Moses. And he called that ark the ark of his testimony. Right? So he wanted to put a testimony in the ark. All right? Verse 21. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. Very important, the words, the testimony which I shall give to you. And there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. And the purpose of this ark was to manifest a position where man would be able to commune with God and receive God's direction and receive God's purposes. All right? So the heart to all of that was this word, I will give you a testimony. And so what did God do? He took Moses into Mount Sinai and he gave him two tablets of the testimony. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. And when he had finished speaking with him, that is Moses, upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Okay? So he symbolized the fact that this testimony would be written upon by the finger of God. And he took Moses into the mount and he gave him those two tablets of the testimony. Now whose testimony were they? They were the testimony of God. Through those testimony, that those tablets symbolized the fact that God was going to tell, God was going to give his testimony to the people of Israel. Now in the Old Testament he did it by the law. In the New Testament he's going to do it through Jesus Christ, and he's going to unveil it through the fulfillment of the law. And this is what you must understand, okay? And it's going to be manifested not in on pieces of stone, but in human hearts. And we will, that's what we are trying to get at here, okay? Let's look at chapter 32, verse 15 and 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work. The tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Very important for you to understand that. You see, for you to receive the reality of God, God has to write the testimony. The testimony has to be 100% God's work. Because the revelation of God is not of the intellect of man. So you cannot intellectually pursue the revelation of God. It has to be manifested to you by a revelation in your heart. It has to be the work of God. Are you with me? Okay. So these are the tablets of the testimony. Now let's look at this new covenant fulfillment of this verse. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm reading from the New American Standard. So it says here, you are a letter of Christ. If you have a King James Bible, it says you are an epistle of Christ. Okay? You are an epistle of Christ. Okay? Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Right? And if you list, I'm going to just select certain parts of this verse. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Written upon by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone as was done in Moses' time, but on tablets of human hearts. If you have a King James Bible, it says tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. All right? So human hearts of flesh. All right? It is meant to open to the Holy of Holies. Can you see that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay? Okay, now let's look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Verse 25 to 27. Ezekiel, chapter 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Correct? So the word of God is very consistent. There's nothing that is being spoken of in the New Testament that has not already been prophesied in the Old Testament. Amen? So when you are born again, God gives you a new heart and a new spirit. And what has He done? He has opened your heart to the reality of God. Amen? So when you were born again, you immediately came alive to the fact that God is real. Right? And that's not an intellectual disposition. It is something that is opened to your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then He says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." Okay? So, what does He say? I've opened your heart to me. Now I will put my Holy Spirit within you, and He will cause you to walk in my ways. What is He building now? A relationship, okay? He's building a relationship. And in that relationship, He's going to show you who He is and all that He is. It's going to be something of the heart. It's going to be built in an intimacy. When you move into your ministry, you're supposed to function in this intimacy. You're not just supposed to function in an anointing. You're supposed to function in an intimacy. Out of that intimacy, the anointing functions. Are you with me? Right? Because if you just function in an anointing, then God will become divorced from you. Right? He will just become someone whom you talk about. It's only a question of time. That's why it's very important that when you start walking into your ministry, that you start doing it on the basis of your relationship with Him, rather than just trying to anoint and function by gifts and miracles. Because if you try to do it that way, it is only a question of time before your heart will become cold to Him. And if you are wondering how anointed men of God can fall in the ministry, take a look at Lucifer. He was the covering cherub who stood before God in the Holy of Holies. He was the foremost of all of the angels, and he fell from that position. Right? Why? Because he learned to do that. He learned how to just take hold of the anointings and the giftings of God and just run with those anointings and those giftings. But without the relationship with God, ultimately his heart was far from God, and ultimately his heart opened to things that he should not have opened. The Bible says he even thought he could become God. Now he was very anointed. One third of the angels chose him over God. And so you must learn the lesson very well. Which is why in this ministry, we are teaching you to have a relationship first before you run into a ministry. That when you go into your ministry, it will be because of that relationship with the Lord that is alive in your heart, rather than because you just have an anointing and a gifting. It's very important to understand that. Because any anointing and any gifting can be misused. The only thing that will keep you on the right track is if the Holy Spirit causes you to walk in God's statutes. Amen? And He will cause you to walk in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's very important for you to understand. Amen? So we find that God in the law already laid the foundations of what will come forth when Jesus came and fulfilled the law. When Jesus came and fulfilled the law, man was now able to have an online relationship with the living God. He was able to have a heart-to-heart relationship with God because of the reality of Jesus unveiled within us. So when you are born again, God gave you the seed of Christ. Amen? When you are born again, God put inside of you the seed of Christ. And this seed of Christ is the means by which God is going to develop everything inside of you. And you must understand that. Because Christ is the blueprint for a new you. There can be no other blueprint for a new person. You already know that you as you are riddled with your own fleshly weaknesses and your sinful nature. The only way you're going to be saved is if you allow that seed of Christ to grow inside of you. Because in the seed of Christ, God will bring into you the character and nature of Jesus. He will bring into you the faith and love of Jesus. He will bring into you the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring into you the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring into you the witness and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that seed grows inside of you, right, you are changed. And as that seed grows inside of you, you grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory. This is the treasure God is talking about. All right? This is the treasure God is talking about. And your heart is designed to receive and realize this treasure. Only your heart can receive it. And you must understand that very clearly. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now let's look at something that the prophet Jeremiah prophesied about. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. Amen. So you need to understand that. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So what is the Lord saying? That there is coming a new covenant, and in that new covenant I will write my law into your hearts. And in that reality, you will become my people, and I will be your God, and you will come to know me. And all of you will know me. From the least to the greatest, all of you will know me. And there will be no question of you not knowing me. Are you with me? But you realize that this is all the work of God, that He has to write His laws in your heart. Now, what does it mean when God says, I will write my laws into your heart? He's saying that He will write His laws in your heart in fulfilled terms. And that's something you must understand. That no longer is He talking about the law of commandments, He's talking of the law in fulfilled terms. All right, let me explain that. In the law it is said, thou shalt not steal. That's a great principle, and that is a law. In the new covenant, God will bring inside of you the nature of Jesus Christ that will never steal. Are you with me? That is the fulfillment of the law. If you try and observe the law, you will never discover this reality. If you live by Jesus, then you will discover the reality of receiving His nature. But if you try and practice the law, you will never discover it. Because if you try and practice the law, all you will do is you will manifest your own righteousness. And you can only observe the law to a certain degree, right? After that, you will stop growing, right? If you want to go beyond that, then you have to receive of the nature and character of Jesus Christ. And the nature and character of Jesus Christ will never steal. Simple as that. So if you have a problem with drinking, the law says you shall not drink. The New Testament says receive Jesus and you will never drink, because the nature of Jesus will never drink. That's the key. So the answer is not trying to force yourself to stop drinking. The answer is to receive Jesus and you will stop drinking. Right? The key to ministry is that you must lead people to receive and realize Jesus Christ, so that in Jesus Christ their weaknesses will be dealt with. It is pointless telling a guy who's an alcoholic, don't drink. He can't help himself. The only thing you have to do is to bring Jesus alive in him. And in bringing Jesus alive in him, you're bringing into him the reality of God. You're bringing into him the reality of the power of God. And when the reality of the power of God manifests, all things can be solved. Amen? That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, is anything too hard for me? Correct? Right? You remember the rich young man who came to see Jesus? Remember the rich young man who came to see Jesus, and he said, "What must I do to have salvation or eternal life?" Words to that effect. Jesus took him to the law, correct? And he said, "Have you observed the law?" And the young man very blithely said, "Yes, I've observed the law. From very young, I've been keeping the law." So then Jesus said, "Since you are keeping the law, go and sell everything and come follow me." The young man was shocked. Now, why did Jesus tell him that? Because he said he observed the law. And the law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you love God like that, go and sell everything and come follow me. Isn't that not right? Correct? So the young man walked away very dejectedly, right? So the disciples turned to Jesus and said, "If this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who the dickens is going to come there?" And so Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Can you catch it? And this is the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament said, "I will give you a set of laws and you try and observe those laws. And if you fail those laws, come into my temple and there are sacrifices that will release you from your sin. And as you observe those sacrifices, I will release you from your sin." Correct? And that was the system of the law. But ultimately you find that the law put people in bondage because the law demanded things that man could not do. So what did God do in the New Testament? He manifested himself. He manifested himself in Jesus Christ. He manifested himself in Jesus Christ, unveiling his nature and his character. And that nature and character of God was put to the test on the cross. And the reason why you and I can be saved is because at the cross, God put his nature and character on the test against the wickedness that man inflicted against him. And he was untainted by what man did. So the first things Jesus said at the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." So Jesus rose above all of man's wickedness, and he manifested a reality that is in God's heart. An ability to forgive, an ability to love, an ability to heal, an ability to save. Right? And that's what you and I have in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, God manifests himself through the character and nature of Jesus. And if you and I can receive the character and nature of Jesus Christ, everything in our lives can change. All those things that we don't desire doing. You get up in the morning and you realize, "Oh my goodness, I must read the Bible," and you know, "Oh my goodness, can't I just sleep instead of having to read the Bible and pray?" So you go back to sleep and then you get up, then you rush, brush your teeth and run to the office. And you say, "Oh my goodness, I forgot to pray. So tomorrow I will try my best." So this is how the life goes. One day you pray, one day you don't pray, one day you pray, one day you don't pray, and it goes up and down, up and down. And as long as you try to keep observe the law, this is what will happen. If you're going to change that cycle of ups and downs, you have to discover Jesus Christ. You have to find the spirit of prayer from Jesus. You have to find the joy of the Lord from the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless he gives you the joy of learning his word and understanding his word, you will keep on doing up and down. Because that's what you are. You cannot be what you are not. Right? You can only be what you are. That's all. Praise the Lord. So to be what God wants you to be, you need to receive something from God. And what God has given you is a blueprint in Jesus Christ. And he says, "Receive my son." And in a matter of time, you will begin to see that you change. That although you may go up a little bit up and down, you're at least rising up and down. All right? Right? So yes, you're going up and down, but it's rising up and down. All right? So something is being built. And there's a difference, isn't it? And that's what you must catch. All right? So what is God doing with you? What David wrote in Psalm 54, verse 1, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power." And you must discover that. If you don't discover that, you have no business going and ministering to somebody because you don't know anything. Because what you will end up doing is putting that poor fellow under the law. And then after 3 years of your teaching, he will never even understand and appreciate what grace is anymore. All he ends up doing is becoming another version of a religious creep. We got enough of religious creeps. You don't need any more. All right? We need people who understand the heart of God, who understand that we are weak and God has to save us, that everything that we need in life is available in God. It's available to us in Jesus Christ. He's the blueprint of God's salvation. He's the blueprint to enable us to receive and realize all that we can't do. Praise the Lord. And if you can just understand that simple thing, nothing is impossible for you in Christ. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's only a question of time. Now the Holy Spirit is within you to unveil Jesus Christ to you. And why is the Holy Spirit in you to unveil Jesus Christ to you? Because in Jesus Christ, the name of God is manifested. Are you with me? It all revolves around Jesus Christ. It does not revolve around you trying to practice principles. There is no difference between a principle and a law. A principle is just a new word we have found for the law. Since we are supposed to be under grace, so we invented this word called principle. And so now we redress the law under a principle. Right? And we teach the principle to people who can't observe the principle. And we keep telling them, you must observe this principle and you will be blessed. Works up to a point, and after that, the poor guy is locked out of God. Why? Because he's stuck with the principle. All he knows is the principle. The principle has replaced God. And instead of having a relationship with God that develops the principle, he is trying to observe the principle. And he's shut under the law. And after some time, he becomes condemned because he's trying his best and he's getting nowhere. There are so many things the Bible says God will do. And after 10 years as a Christian, he's trying to find out where all these things that God said he will do, and I can't find them in my life. And the reason is very simple, because you have locked out God and replaced him with a set of laws and principles. But that's not what God wants to do. He wants to write the law into your hand, into your heart. He wants to write it in fulfilled terms. Are you with me? And you need to understand that. Right? He wants to do something with you. Because in doing something with you, he begins to show you who he is. He's beginning to show you what he can do versus what you can do. We already know what we can do. Right? And most of what we can do is like a drop in the ocean. It is more like what we can't do. So instead of looking for answers in what you can do, why don't you look at answers in what God can do? Because if once you find what God can do, all things are possible for you. Nothing is impossible. It's only a question of time. It's only a question of you receiving that revelation and running with it. So in the earlier tapes, we talked about revelation knowledge being manifested to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, right? Being established inside of you in the faith of Jesus. Being open to you in the love of Jesus. And recently we have been telling you that through the word of God, God also wants to manifest to you the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's the key word, realized. And when you realize something in the spirit and life of Jesus, when you realize something in the faith and love of Jesus, listen to what we are saying here. The faith and love of Jesus. I put it to you, if you have the faith and love of Jesus functioning inside of you, you can do all kinds of things, man. All that you think you can't do today, you will do. And this is what you must keep on pursuing. Set your hope on the Lord and you will change. Yes, it will take time. It will take time because God has to deal with your character. God has to deal with the flaws in your character. But the changes will come, and the blessings will come, and the promises will open. And what God has opened, no man can shut. What God has opened, no man can shut. And this is what you must understand. God saves you. You don't try and save yourself. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. So listen to the words of God, right? That the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus will shine in your heart. amen, will shine in your heart, so that the treasure of God will be manifested in your heart, so that you will have the surpassing greatness of the power. It will be of God, it will not be of yourself. And that's the key. It's all about discovering God, discovering what God can do to you, what God can bring into your life. And in that process of discovering what God can do with you, in the real things that are happening in your life every day, in the real problems that you face every day, God says, that's where you're going to find out who I am. Praise the Lord. And when you go out and you start doing ministry, it is that same purpose that God has. He's going to develop your ministry as you learn who He is. Because your ministry will grow as you begin to see how big your God is. So the purpose of the ministry too is ultimately to discover God. As you see people being healed, as you see people's lives being changed, that's when you begin to understand, my goodness, God does some real things. God makes a real difference. And in that process, your faith grows, your ministry grows, and you begin to have a deeper relationship with God. Your anointings become enriched. Your anointings begin to expand. Your anointings begin to unveil in a higher and higher reality of God. Amen? So the spirit of wisdom is an anointing, but you also understand that the spirit of wisdom has got no limits in God. All right? That's why God describes his reality as a high mountain. So everything you build in God is like opening a high mountain. And there's no limit to what God can build into you as you grow in Him. Praise the Lord. All right? All right. So you need to understand that the first reality of God that God wants to bring inside of you is this reality of the testimony. All right? You have to first discover who God is. As you discover who God is, then the next part comes. He starts beginning to form covenant into your heart. What is covenant? Covenant is an oath. Covenant is an oath. Whose oath? God's oath. God's oath sworn into your heart in Jesus' name. I will repeat that. God's oath sworn in your heart in Jesus' name. That is covenant. Amen. That's why in Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. All right? Because the basis of this covenant is Him. The only reason why you and I can be in covenant with God is because of Jesus Christ, because of the price He paid, because of His perfect character and nature. It is not because you and I are fit to make covenant, to have covenant with God. We are not. But because of the atoning power of the blood of Jesus Christ, God can make covenant with you in your heart. Now, what does it mean, atoning power of the Lord Jesus Christ? The fact that He has died for you. The fact that He has paid a price for you. He has paid a price for you with His faith and His love. Not because you're a good guy or I am a good guy. None of us is a good guy. Right? He paid a price for us. Amen. And in that price, God says, I am prepared to swear by my name into your heart that you will be my son. Are you listening? Amen. And that's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Promise. Right? Because now the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Why is He inside of you? Because Jesus' faith and love has been expressed over your life. So now the Holy Spirit, who is holy, can work with a sinful man like you and me. And He's willing to live in us, and He's going to be in us forever. Only we can throw Him out. And the way we throw Him out is to throw Him out. Just forget about Him and just leave Him. And say, I'm going to do my own thing. That's why it is very important that you learn how to do all things by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. For the Holy Spirit is inside of you to enable you to receive the covenant God has sworn in the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now you may be a person who has done terrible things in your life. God still wants to make covenant with you. Hello.
Amen. God still wants to make covenant with you. So don't look at what you are. Look at who Jesus is, and look at what God has given you in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is inside of you to open Jesus Christ so that in Jesus Christ God can fashion covenant into your heart. An oath. Amen? An oath, that means guarantees in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be done for you. Because there is the potential of an oath being sworn in his name into your heart. And in that reality, you become a creature of promise that God can use. So if you are a stubborn ox, deal with it. And if God says, deal with it, deal with it. Even if it's painful, deal with it. Don't trade your stubbornness, right? Give up your stubbornness and receive the excellence of Jesus. And get on with the blessings that God has for you, because they are so awesome blessings. But all this takes time. All right? And you must allow God to work it. Don't try and rush it, because God knows exactly what He is doing with you. Because the Bible says He knew you before your unformed substance. God is omniscient. He knows all things. All things past, present, and future. Every outcome of every possibility is already known to Him. So put your trust in Him. And let Him direct your pathways. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Listen to the word of God. So don't rush. Right? Learn to wait on Him and let Him do the changes. And when I say wait, I don't mean do nothing. Right? By all means you should pray. By all means you should study the scriptures. By all means you should worship the Lord. By all means you should receive more and more of Christ Jesus. That's doing a lot of things. But wait on Him to tell you where to go next. Right? And always remember, if you make a mistake, God won't fall off His throne. Hello. If you look back at your life, it's like one gigantic mistake. Right? God is still there on the throne and He still saved you. Right? So if you make a mistake, so what? Right? But be humble enough to pick up the pieces and say, look, I made a mistake. Faith is not... what is the right word for it? Faith is not stubbornness and arrogance and pride. All right? Faith is unveiled in humility. Right? Jesus was very humble, but He had faith, and He had strong faith. So understand when you have made a mistake and repent. Stop trying to change, make God change His mind. He won't change His mind, because another reality of God is that He is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He's not going to change His mind over your life. You have to change your mind. And in order to change your mind, you have to understand that He has to change it for you. All right? So it's all about God coming alive in you. Right? God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. What does that mean? There's nothing He cannot do. All power is with Him. Don't look for any other source of power. It is not the anointing that is power. It is God that is power. God is omniscient. He's always there. And He means to be there all the time. Whether you can feel Him or you don't feel Him, by definition, He is there. So no matter what happens in your life, if you look to God, you will ultimately find that you will come out of the tunnel. There will always be light at the end of the tunnel. Right? It is only that you can't see at times. That's all. It's not that God can't see you. Right? And you need to understand these things. Now, to understand the relevance of all these things, you have to understand the price that Jesus Christ has paid for you. And that has to come into your heart by revelation. So testimony leads to covenant, all right? Let me just introduce a couple of verses for covenant, all right? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. From verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant. What is a mediator? He's making sure that the covenant of God will be fashioned inside of you. He's mediating that covenant into your heart. Now God is mediating Jesus is mediating a covenant into each one of our hearts in a different way. To mediate a covenant in our hearts means that Jesus is measuring our lives continually. If he was a man alone, it would not happen. You can't do it. It's impossible. But because he's also God, true God and true man, he can do it. He can sense what the man needs and he can mediate it in his reality as God himself. So everything that happens inside of you, every change that happens inside of you has been pursued by Jesus Christ for a long time. If you look at your life and where you have been and what kind of things you have done, he has been there waiting for you to change to open your heart to him. He's been there pursuing you, and ultimately he opened your heart to him. Amen. So he's mediating a covenant into your heart. He's forming the word of God into your heart, ultimately so that that word will become an oath in which you can do all things. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me show you another verse. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Let's read from verse 1 for context. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. So Jesus is the author and finisher or perfecter of your faith. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you need to understand that this covenant is going to be manifested in faith. And in our earlier teachings, you remember the word hypostasis for substance? Right? So this covenant is going to be formed in substance within your heart. And that substance is going to be of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So he is the author and the finisher of your faith. If he is the author of your faith, it means he is the originator of your faith. What does it mean? He's going to fashion your faith in his faith. That's why you and I can be saved. And he's going to bring it to perfection. So he's the finisher, he's the perfecter of your faith. He's going to bring his faith inside of you, and he's going to work it inside of you, and he's going to build you in his faith until your faith in God is built on the faith of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now in that faith of Jesus Christ that is manifested in you, God can now make covenant with you. Correct? Right? Okay. Let's turn to another verse. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confession. Amen. Therefore, holy brethren, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Amen. What you confess is what you get. So you remember the words of Moses in the Old Testament? Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 14 and 15. It says that the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. So Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confession. God wants your confession to be the word of God. And Jesus is there to mediate that confession until your confession manifests the word of God. So between your mouth and your heart is the witness that God wants to build inside of you. Amen? And that witness, amen? That witness is what God is talking about here. Jesus is the apostle. He is the messenger of what your mouth is one day going to confess. And he is the high priest, and that's what he is bringing before God. Amen? Are you with me? So one day when you minister, you must understand that everything that you speak into another man's life has to be witnessed to, right? By Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. By Jesus, who is the apostle or the originator of your message and the high priest of your message. Amen? Because human lives are dependent on what you preach. Amen? All right? Okay. One more verse. Hebrews chapter 7. What does he do as a high priest? Verse 24 and verse 25. But he, Jesus, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So as a high priest, he makes intercession for us. Ever lives to make intercession for us. When I first read that verse, I said, Lord, don't you have anything better to do? You know, he not only died for you and paid for your sins, but he's got to listen to all the muck that goes around inside of you, and he mediates a covenant and he intercedes for it too. That's an amazing love. It's very hard to comprehend that kind of love because none of us will do it. We won't even do it for our own selves. Never mind about the next guy. Right? It's hard to comprehend. You know, it's like you read it, your intellect can say, I think I understand what it means, but your heart can't really measure it because you don't have such a reality inside of you and me. We don't have such a reality inside of you and me. It's an amazing love, isn't it? Look at verse 22. What is the basis of covenant? So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. So the new covenant is guaranteed by Jesus. It is guaranteed by his faith and his love. It is guaranteed by his righteousness. It is guaranteed by his love. It is guaranteed by his character and his nature. It is guaranteed by his witness, because he has loved you. He has saved you. He has given you a new life. And he's prepared to stand guarantee that he is able to save you. Amen. So look at your life and how many times you have turned away from him and how many times he has picked you up. For every time you can identify the fact that Jesus has picked you up, there are probably 500 times that you never even realized that he picked you up. Praise the Lord. Now let's read verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. So the reason there is a word of the oath, that there is a covenant that is able to come forth in your life, is because Jesus stands over that. Amen. So that's why you should move into it. It's got nothing to do with how good a guy you are. It's got everything to do with what you can receive from him. Because of him, you can be perfect one day. Because of him, you will qualify to be a son unto God. Because of him, you can be a temple of the living God. Because of him, you can change. Because of him, everything is possible. Every good thing is possible. Praise the Lord. And you must understand, when you talk about Jesus, you're talking about the manifested name of God. God is presenting him to you through Jesus Christ. God is telling you exactly who he is through Jesus Christ. Amen? But unless you walk into God's work in your life, you will not understand who Jesus is. You cannot just by theology understand Jesus Christ. It has ultimately got to manifest in your life. Amen? And that's one of the reasons why we are all called to serve the Lord and enter into ministry. Because it is in ministry that you begin to see who God is, what Jesus does. Right? And in that process, you begin to unveil, your heart begins to unveil to the beauty of the Lord your God. You cannot love God if you don't know Him. And you cannot know a God whom you don't live with, or live by and live in. So it is very central to everything. Knowing God is the basis in which we build the church. If the church does not know God, it does not know anything. Doesn't matter how anointed the church is. If it does not know God, all it can do is miracles, that's all. But when the spirit of those miracles change, they don't even know when they have gone off track. Alright, we have seen this over and over again in history. Alright, so we must understand that unless we build something through Christ Jesus, unless we build something in the name of Jesus, unless we build something in the knowledge of the Lord our God, it's not going to stand the test of time. Praise the Lord. So on a personal note, walk into what God has for you, because Jesus cannot fail. You and I can fail. Definitely we can fail. We have failed many times before. But the Christian faith is built on the fact that Jesus Christ cannot fail. And the cross is testimony that He cannot fail. If He could take and face all of the sin of the world spiritually on the cross, overcome it, and the Bible says He had the spirit of holiness, your sin and my sin is nothing. Amen. He's already beaten it. But we have to receive that reality. We have to trust Him and walk into it, what He is calling us to do. Amen. Because ultimately, you are a free will creature. What you choose not to receive, God cannot make it manifest. So shall we pray? Father, we thank you that your name is a covenant testimony, Father. A testimony unveiled in covenant in the merits of the Lamb. A testimony brought to us through Jesus Christ. A testimony built into a covenant to us through Jesus Christ. And He becomes to us, O God, the author and finisher of our faith, the mediator of the covenant in our hearts. He becomes to us the apostle and high priest of our confession. He ever lives to intercede for us. And because He does all of these things in each one of our lives, all of the time, all things are possible for us. And so, Lord, your word says that there is the potential of the word of the oath, which is covenant, O God, in each one of our lives. So we thank you that your name is being unveiled to us by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. And in your name, O God, you're opening to us the realities of who you are and all that you are, so that it will become the basis of us realizing a covenant with you. A covenant that is indestructible, a covenant that is unshakable, a covenant that is an oath in all eternity. And in this covenant, O God, we are called, O God, to be servants of the living God. Your word says that we are servants of the new covenant, Father. So we thank you that in this new covenant, we are all called to know you, to love you, and to belong to you. We thank you and we bless you for this awesome privilege, far beyond our appreciation, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.